Hallelujah, Jesus. You are so good. And you're so good to us. Well, good morning, church. Good morning, every one of you who are here. And good morning to you who are online. It's good to be together and celebrate the goodness of our God, isn't it? Amen. It's hard to hear you respond behind your masks. Amen. So I understand protocol is when we're conducting religious activities in certain ways, we can remove our masks for those minutes, you know, when we're conducting a sacrament, and then we get to put them back on. So, you know, is shouting a sacrament? It is. So I see. Oh, I got to be good. I got to be good. Anyway, God is good. Good to have some fun, amen? So, you know, I've had some interesting experiences over the last few days. And the first one started when Pastor Dunstan here walked into my office. He walks in, he opens the door, he walks in, and he looks at me curious. And he kind of goes through the doorway, and then he stops and he goes, what am I supposed to think when somebody walks in your office and goes, you know? And then he goes, wow, this office really smells like you. So I'm going to take that as a compliment, right? So I go, oh, interesting, okay. What does that smell like? Well, it smells like you. Okay. Then, a few days later, I'm holding my little grandson, Logan. Oh, so good, you know. Look at him, playing with him, you know. He's at the age where, you know, doesn't matter what I say, he laughs, as it should be. You know, we're having a little bit of fun and snuggling. And then I pass him back to Brittany. You know what she says to me? She says, you know, every time you hold Logan and you give him back to me, he always smells like you. And I go, oh, what's going on here? Yeah, he always smells like you. Okay. Fragrances are interesting things. They can remind you of people. They can bring certain experiences, and you know they have the ability to affect the atmosphere, you know, kind of like a skunk, you know. But they're interesting things. But you know what? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, he talks about a particular fragrance. And he writes, we are to God the fragrance of Christ. And I'd like to take a closer look at this idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read to you verses 14 to 17. And I've titled this talk, The Fragrance of Christ. But just before we do that, let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are a loving, caring God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come right now. Holy Spirit, teacher, illuminate God's word for us this morning. And open up our hearts to receive. Open up our understanding to grasp what you want to say to us today. And do a work in us that as we receive your word will not leave us the same, but it will change us to be more like you. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, and this morning I'm reading from the New King James Version. And there it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Some say in triumphal procession. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So this is an amazing passage of Scripture when you understand a bit of the background. You know, Paul had to bring strong correction to the Corinthian church. There were things that were not right in the church. There were divisions. There was gross sexual immorality. It was so bad that in one case, Paul said, even the world doesn't engage in this depraved behavior. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And it resulted in an excommunication causing no small amount of grief. There were issues how they treated each other, particularly around the Lord's table. They were marginalizing the poor. And then, of course, Paul had his share of critics who outright opposed him. And it wasn't easy. There's lots of pain. There's lots of issues, lots of challenges, just lots of not pleasant things going on. And in fact, in the first few verses of chapter 2 here, Paul speaks about feeling grief and pain and not wanting to cause any more pain and wanting to avoid further pain. Don't we all? You know, who wants to live in that kind of a place? But he also spoke about the need to forgive. But what I love is, I love the fact that Paul doesn't hide the challenges he faced, or he doesn't hide the pain or the grief that he's feeling and that others wound up feeling as a result of the corrections he had to bring. You know, he doesn't hide that stuff and he recognizes it. And he recognizes and acknowledges, you know, what people were feeling, what he was feeling, the challenges. But then goes on to say something absolutely profound. In the face of all of this, in the face of the challenge, the pain, that he goes on to say, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. You know, have you ever stopped to realize you carry a fragrance? I did this last few weeks. Do you know, as we talk with Jesus, as we spend time in his presence, as we live and apply the knowledge of Christ in our lives, you know, the word says we are to God the fragrance of his Son. We are to God the fragrance of his Son. In fact, God thinks of our lives in a sense as a fragrance that brings Christ to everybody. For people who are being saved, this fragrance has a sweet smell and it leads them to a better life. But for people who reject Jesus, it has a not so good smell. In fact, the word says the smell of death. Now, before you go, oh, isn't that nice? We smell nice. And miss the power behind what Paul is saying here. I want to explain to you the imagery that Paul had in mind when he wrote this. So Paul was writing this, he had in mind the picture of a Roman triumphal parade. It says in other versions, he always leads us in triumphal procession. And he had in mind this triumphant Roman parade. The Roman Caesar, the general who won the victory, he led the parade. It was the highest honor one could receive. The general or the Caesar who was at the front of that parade, it was the highest honor that could be bestowed. And he would lead the parade. He sat on a chariot pulled by white horses. This procession was followed by different groups of people: the city magistrates, the state officials, the Roman Senate, Then there was the trumpeters. Next came the soldiers carrying the spoils of the conquered land. And finally, the musicians and the priests swinging their censers with the sweet-smelling incense burning in them. And whenever the parade went by, people could smell this sweet incense just filling the air. And for the victorious army and for the Roman citizens, the fragrance had the sweet fragrance of victory. Whenever they smelled this felt, they knew victory was in the air. And whenever they would smell that fragrance, it would evoke the realization of the strength and the might and the victory of Rome. On the other hand, for the victims who were captured, the smell of that incense was frightening. When they took in that smell, they knew something unpleasant was going to happen. They knew they would die. They were about to be executed. And so before the end of the day, actually. And so for them, the smell was a smell of death. It was an unpleasant smell. It brought just fear and anguish. And so when Paul writes, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph or triumphal procession in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place," that's what he had in mind, this triumphal Roman procession. And Paul is saying in that picture, he's saying, Christ is the victorious commander who is leading us, who is worthy of the greatest, and he's in front of the procession, indicating he is worthy of the highest honor. Amen? Christ always leads us in procession. And Paul is saying in the picture that he's painting that Christ is that commander. Christ is that Caesar. Christ is the one who is leading us, and he is worthy of the highest honor possible. There is no one greater. There is no one worth more honor. He is worthy of the highest honor. Amen? But this is not just a one-time parade. Paul goes on to say, this is just a once in a while. He always, somebody say always. He always leads us in triumph. Amen? And through us, as we march in the great procession, as we follow him, he diffuses or disperses, like that incense, he diffuses or disperses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. There's a smell, the fragrance of the victorious king. You've been with Jesus. You've been marching with him. You're in step with him. You're in step with Jesus. And as a result, there's something about you. There's something about your life that evokes the realization of the strength and the victory and the might of our God and King and of his kingdom. Amen? Even as the Romans marched with it, evoked the sun. When we walk, as believers, we march in the great procession that's following Jesus. And there's something about our lives. There's a realization that emanates from us that evokes the realization in the people who are either watching or are captive that of the strength, of the victory, of the might and power of our God and of his kingdom. Amen? That's what Paul is saying here. Some may like it because it's the fragrance of salvation. And while some others, well, they might not like it so much because it reminds them of the truth they have rejected and the consequences of it. So Paul writes in the face of significant challenges. He says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, evoking the realization of him and his kingdom." Always. Not sometimes. I hope we get a hold of this. Not sometimes. Not when I'm feeling good about things. You know, not just when it's sunny outside or not just when COVID-19 is finally taken care of. He says, thanks be to God who leads us in this triumphal procession always, always in the face of whatever situation, whatever circumstance. He always leads us in this triumphant procession. And as we march in that procession that follows him, regardless of the enemy we see, regardless of the challenge before me, regardless of the angry shouts of our critics, regardless of those who may have caused us pain and grief, regardless of all the frustrations surrounding COVID-19, regardless of whatever, as we march in the procession that follows Jesus, he always leads us into triumph. Amen? Oh, you should be standing up shouting hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Preach it, Pastor. If you want, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. Preach it, Pastor. He always, doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what people are saying. Doesn't matter the pain, the grief, the challenge. Doesn't matter about our current cultural values, the current situation. It doesn't matter. As we march in the procession that follows Jesus, he always leads us into triumph. Amen. We sang it this morning. Hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He always leads us in triumphal procession. But Paul didn't stop there. He says, and through us disperses or diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. Amen. Through us, he leads us in triumphal procession, and through us diffuses, he disperses the fragrance of his knowledge. Do you know, as I said earlier, our lives evoke the realization of the strength, the might, and the victory of our God and of his kingdom. And you know what? It begins to penetrate. It penetrates the atmosphere. It penetrates the circumstance. It penetrates wherever that fragrance goes. It penetrates. That's the power of the, you know, the fragrances penetrate, right? So it through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. Our lives evoke the realization of who God is, his might and his power, the glory of his kingdom, and it begins to penetrate. It permeates the atmosphere with the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? As we march in that procession, he leads us into victory. In our lives, he says, he diffuses the fragrance of the knowledge of his Son. Our lives begin to evoke, our lives begin to show forth the goodness and the glory of his kingdom. And it begins to penetrate whatever circumstance, whatever situation, wherever you are. It fills your office with a fragrance. It fills your home with a fragrance. It fills your workplace with a fragrance. It fills wherever you are. It penetrates the atmosphere, bringing a realization, permeating the atmosphere with the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in church on Sunday morning, in my life group, in the prayer meeting, in any other friendly place I can think of. Right? Is that what it says? You're looking at me like, what's he saying? Paul writes, in every place. Every place. Every single place. And you know what that tells me? That the gospel of Jesus Christ will prevail. Amen? Through us, as we march in the procession that follows Christ the King, the victorious one, the one who is worthy of the highest honor possible, as we follow him, as we march in that procession, he always leads us into triumph. And then from our lives evokes the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Son. And that fragrance goes into every single place. There's no place that can withstand it. Amen? That tells me the gospel of Jesus Christ will prevail. It will prevail. It will advance regardless of the challenge. It will advance regardless of the circumstance. It will penetrate and advance regardless of the cultural atmosphere. It will penetrate. I love this illustration Paul uses of the fragrance. As they march through the streets of Rome, that fragrance penetrated everywhere. And as we march in with Christ, following him, honoring him, worshiping him, our lives, the fragrance of our lives penetrates with the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ every single place. The gospel of Jesus Christ will advance. It will penetrate the cultural atmosphere. It will penetrate our whatever challenging atmosphere we have, our homes, our workplaces, this culture. It will penetrate. The gospel of Jesus Christ will prevail. Amen? That's what Paul wants us to see here. It will penetrate. As we march in the procession that follows Christ, the atmosphere will change, because that's the power of the gospel. We diffuse the fragrance of Christ into that place. Amen? Paul says, doesn't say, he says, maybe. He doesn't say, I hope you. And that's what I love about this illustration, what he's saying here. He leads us into truth. This is the truth. This is fact. This is an absolute. As we follow Jesus, as we march in that procession, our lives will be the fragrance of his Son. And that fragrance will penetrate into every single place. He's not saying maybe, he's saying always. Amen? Hallelujah. As Paul wrote this, and we saw the background against what he was writing it, he didn't just see the grief. He didn't just see the pain. He didn't just see the challenge. He saw the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, come to bear on those situations and turn them into places of victory. Amen? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God that brings everyone who believes to salvation. Amen? No matter what the challenge, the gospel will advance. No matter what the culture, the gospel will prevail. No matter what the resistance, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be triumphant. Amen? And the evidence can be seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul begins to express his joy after he brought the gospel and the truth of the gospel and the correction of the gospel. We see the repentance of the people as a response to the truth of what he was saying. So you see in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the response and the power that the truth of the gospel had on the people. They repented and they responded. You know, Paul didn't diminish the challenge because he recognized there was one greater than the challenge. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ Jesus. And through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every single place. Understand, church, understand. You know, we all know what we face. We all know what we struggle with. We all know the challenges. We all know. But understand what you carry. As a follower of Jesus Christ, understand what you carry. What you carry is unstoppable. Amen? What you carry is unstoppable. It will penetrate the atmosphere with the hope, the victory, and the life-changing knowledge of Jesus Christ. In whatever place, in whatever situation you find yourself, as you march in the procession that follows Jesus. I see our time is slipping by quickly. You weren't supposed to say amen to that. You were saying, keep preaching, Pastor. But I want to close with a story. And this just happened to me a couple of weeks ago as an illustration to what I'm talking about. A couple of years ago, someone donated to the church an older, looked like it was an antique, Atari console. How many remember the Atari games? You know, they had the bing bong. But it was really in pristine condition, and I decided to do a little research, and I found out that if this was the real deal, it'd be worth some money. And this person had donated it. Given it to me for the church to use however it wanted. I thought we could set it up here on a Sunday morning and kind of play, but so I did a little research and I thought it could be worth some money. So what I didn't do is I didn't stop to check the serial number. So I took it to a local pawn shop just a couple weeks ago, thinking I would turn it into some cash. But as he checked it out, it turns out it was simply a replica, and it. Really wasn't worth a whole lot of money. But I told the owner of the shop who I was and what I was hoping to accomplish, and I got some interesting comments, and some of them not particularly positive initially. You know, and so I just smiled, and the next thing he starts asking me, he says, is this COVID thing the end of the world? And I go, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, I've read in the Bible, you know, these things, these diseases that are going to start happening at the end of the world. Do you think this is the end of the world? And then he says, before I could even answer, he says, do you believe in hell? And then he says, do you think God would really send somebody to hell? I mean, these are really serious questions. He was asking, and so we began to talk, and I began to share with him who God really was. I started trying to adjust his image of who God was, and we talked about God's goodness, and we talked about his love, and the consequence for sin, and the consequence of choosing to reject him. And although the Atari game had no value, he wouldn't give it back to me. He just kept it back, nor would he give me the money. He just kept talking and asking questions. He wouldn't let me go. Customers would come in, and he would serve them, and he would make me wait. and then we would talk some more. And it was kind of interesting because one customer came in, and he was kind of amped up, and he wanted to purchase this thing. I didn't quite see what it was, but he didn't want to pay the full price for it, and he was setting the situation up for a hot negotiation. I mean, this guy was amped, and he wasn't going to pay what was on the sticker price, and he was going to fight for his, and you could tell he was hot. And before anything could happen, all of a sudden, it was really interesting. All of a sudden, he calmed right down for no apparent reason. He says, okay, I'll pay you whatever you asked for. Pay the price and you walked out. Wow, that was weird. The owner looked at me and said, wow, that was weird. You know what? This is what I believe. The fragrance of Christ was penetrating that place. And we continued to talk as he was hungry for something. He was hungry for hope. This person had been smelling the odor of death for so long. Everywhere he looked, the whole COVID situation making him so anxious. But that day he smelled something different. He You smell the fragrance of the life of Christ being diffused into him. He saw hope. Our society has been smelling the odor of death. You know, what's the first thing you hear on the news? I have my alarm clock set on my bedside to wake me up in the morning. It wakes up to the news. And every morning, the first thing you hear is today the COVID count is this, and there's been so many deaths. Our society is smelling the smell of death and the smell of hopelessness. And it's creating a great deal of anxiety. And they're longing for something different. They're longing for a pleasant fragrance. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Amen? We've got such an opportunity right now. We have got such an opportunity to show something different, to bring something different, to change the atmosphere. I want to encourage you, take the time to listen. Take the time to listen. Just be nice to people. You know? There's so many people yelling at, just be nice to people. Say a kind word. I called my sister last night, and I've asked her to, and I'm seeing if I can get this done. I'm asking for a whole bunch of masks that say hope. And I want to just give them to people so we carry hope instead of some of the other things I see on masks. But be nice to people. Share a kind word. Let the fragrance start going. What you carry is unstoppable. Respond with encouragement. Just an encouraging word, you know. I've done that so many times as I come and buy groceries or something. Just an encouraging word. You know, take time to listen. Be nice to people. Share an encouraging word. Bring something of encouragement and see what opportunities God will open up for you. Amen? Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in the triumphal procession in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge into every place. Amen? Hallelujah. Do we have a closing song, Jessica? If we could have the worship team just come. And as they come, I just want to pray. And I just want to encourage whoever, if you're in this room or if you're listening, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that today. You can do that right where you are, just by kneeling down and saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want something different. I want the hope. I want the peace. I want the joy. I want the eternal life that's available to me through faith in you, Jesus. I recognize my sin. I recognize my need for you, Jesus, and I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. And you can do that, and if you've done that and you want to contact us, you can contact us here at the church. But let us know. For you here who are following, I want you to just stand with me for a minute, and I want to pray. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, come. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to renew, refresh, pour into us afresh that anointing, the very incense of your Son, Jesus Christ. Just pour it over us right now. Pour it over us, Father, that if that fragrance has been masked over. over by things in our life that shouldn't be there. Father, we ask you to, we repent of it, and we ask you to take them away. But Father, we ask right now that you would pour over us that anointing, the sweet fragrance of the Son you love, that we will carry the very fragrance of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, into every place, bringing your hope and bringing your freedom, bringing your life to bear in every situation, the very goodness of the good news of Jesus Christ. Fill us afresh.